And in this moment of worship, Mary, I'm going to invite you up. Let's have a word of the Lord this morning through Mary. Scripture, if you remain standing.
Good morning, church family. Here's a reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Let's continue to cherish the house of the Lord.
God, Mary. Ah, such a good word. So good. Our mission here at Abundant Life. You're not ready to sit yet. Oh, come on now. Simon didn't say. The mission here at Abundant Life is that we are a church family devoted to making disciples of Jesus Christ because of that verse that Mary just read. Would you say that with me? I know it's not on the screen, but see if you can remember it. We are a church family devoted to making disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us to do that. That's why we do that. We want to obey his commands. And that's not just local, that's around the world. So that's what today and next Sunday, the next Sunday is all about. Our missions pledge drive, where we give our money so that we can make disciples around the world. And you're going to hear from some great missionaries this morning. Before you sit down, turn, shake somebody's hand, welcome them to the house this morning, and just give them love. Come on, good to see you. Hey! What? Oh, man. What a nice surprise. Wow. Oh, so good. So glad you're here this morning. Welcome. And if you're a guest with us today and you're looking for a church of perfect people, then maybe you want to try the church down the street. But if you want to find a place of real people who want to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, even in imperfections, you come to the right place. And that's what we want to do. And we've got a great, great group of kids that I want to dismiss right now to go to Kids Church with Pastor Angela out this side door to my left, your right. So kids, come up wherever you are and head on out the door, and you'll have a great time. Awesome. All right. Well, glad you're here this morning. Welcome. I want to pray for our morning offering and just thank God for what he did for us last week. And when we come on Sundays, it's an opportunity to do two things. One is to look back and give thanks, and two, to look forward and get filled up so we can then go into next week. And today's right in the middle of that. So when we bring our offerings, we say, God, thank you for what you provided for me, and then thank you for the strength and the ability to go strong next week. When we go into our work week and to serve him. You know, you do your jobs not because solely that it's for an income or because you like it or because it's, you know, your area of expertise. At your job, you're a missionary devoted to making disciples of Jesus Christ. And you just happen to get paid for it when you go to that workplace. So let's thank God right now. And after service, there are giving stations in the foyer, little black boxes that you can drop your offering in. You can also drop in your missions pledge, and I'll tell you in a little bit about the pledge for 2024-2025. When you fill that out, you can drop that in there too. But let's wait right now. Let's pause. Thank God, and then we'll go into that. Jesus, we thank you for what you did in our lives last week. Those days aren't coming back, but what you did in us as you've transformed our nature, and now, excuse me, we're different people, we can carry that into next week. So what we learned then, we can then do as we go into tomorrow's Monday. So God, thank you for what you've given us. We want to take it. We want to bless you and offer it as a thanks offering, knowing that you'll take it, you'll multiply it. And next week, Lord, we want to be multiplied so that we can do more for your kingdom. We love you and we give you all thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, when you came in this morning, you should have received a brochure that looks like this. Did anybody not receive this? If you did not, put up your hand or ushers will serve you. You need this. This is important. Inside is written the names of all of our mission supports. There are 84 of them in here. And we are so thankful for our partners around the world. You can read there and see that we pretty much have every continent except for Antarctica that are represented here. I'm not sure if penguins need salvation, but if they did, we'd go there too. And there are lots of organizations that are listed here. Everything from organizations that rescue trafficked women off the streets to those recovering from life addictions to those that spread with multimedia around the world. Just anything you can think of are the names are in this brochure. And you need this for one main reason. Well, two main reasons. One, so that you know where your missions dollars are going. Two, so that you can pray for these every day. Put this in your Bible. Put it somewhere where it's accessible to you every day. And maybe you might take Africa on Monday, Asia on Tuesday, Europe on Wednesday, or however you decide to do it, and pray for these folks. These are lifers. They may not know they're lifers, but we know they're lifers because we support them each and every month. And every dollar that you give goes to these people, 100% of it goes to these people. And we want to make sure that our partnership with them is healthy so that we can make disciples of Jesus Christ in countries that we might personally never go to. But through our missionaries, we can serve those people. Amen? So take this, look at it, and thank God for all these that have chosen or been called to go. I don't know if you've ever considered going. It's possible. Doesn't matter if you're younger or if you're older. If God puts that burden on your life, why not? Maybe you join the ranks of these that have chosen to go to some land other than the States and minister his gospel. You also receive this pledge card inside that brochure. What this is for is this is a faith pledge. Faith pledge means not what is extra, not what I think I can handle, but how God is moving in your heart. And as he moves in your heart, you put down a number that might be just a little bit beyond what you think is possible. But how many know with God all things are possible? Sandra and I have taken steps of faith over the years, and I want to tell you, as God is my witness, he has never, ever, ever disappointed us. Matter of fact, some of our greatest years of giving have been our greatest years of income. Because Malachi says, test me in this. You cannot give more than I'm able to supply. It just doesn't work that way. His economy is different. So we do things a little different here at Abundant Life. We do have a financial goal, and I'll tell you the numbers just so if you're curious. But there's a number that's more important than that. This year, every month, $18,233 will go out from Abundant Life just through our missions pledges. Not through other venues, not through other avenues, just in pledges. And that total is $219,000. Now, it will be much more than that with the other activities that we do and the projects that we do. But those are important numbers for you to know. However, the most important number is 100. That's the important number. Some of you that are new say, Pastor, I don't understand. Here's what I know from the scripture. When all God's people move in one accord, God does miraculous things. So the number 100 is 100%. The goal is that every single lifer does something. And here's what I know. It's not about the number on the pledge card. Because some of you can give a lot. And some, like, I love when our children put their pledge cards in. There'll be a name of a little six-year-old, and on their card is 50 cents a week. How many know that God can do greater things with 50 cents than he can do with 5,000 bucks? Because that's our God. He can multiply loaves and fish and do great things. So it's not about the number. It's about the act of love and faith. So you're going to hear more about this today, next Sunday, and the last Sunday. But keep this close to you, both this and this. And we'll prayerfully consider what God might do through us. And I know he'll do great things because he always does. Well, today I want to introduce some special missionaries to us. Scott and Marisa Smith are with us. They've been our partners in Spain for, I think, longer than I've even been pastor here. So probably close to 40 years, maybe, something like that. And a lot of folks say, you know, pastor, you shouldn't like say those big numbers because it's embarrassing to people. These are veteran missionaries who have given their lives. And so when somebody who's a veteran like that stands in this pulpit and speaks the word of God, it's up to us to listen to what they say. Because they've heard from God over the decades, and they know his voice. And they know then how to express his voice to us. So I'd like to have you just give a warm welcome to Scott and Marisa Smith as they come and minister to the word today. Our dear friends, come on up. So grateful to have you this morning. Bless you, Marisa. Go ahead and
thank
the pulpit
you.
Is yours.
Is that right? Can you hear me? Well, I'm a living testimony about what the pastor was just saying. I mean, a couple from Texas came to Spain many years ago. I've been saved for now 50-some years. And God called me a year later to the ministry to work with my own people in Spain. Sorry. It's important to you, for you to know that these dreams happen. Not only God sends people to other countries, but God called me to work with my own people also. And I believe God's called you to do the same thing. It's been a long time since we were here, but we are grateful for the opportunity again to be able to meet you and to see what God is doing. You know, next week we will have the school year starts again in the Bible school, which I've been working with for many, many years. The same Bible school that I graduated in 1972. Many years ago. A lot of you weren't even born. But I want to tell you something. God's faithful. And you know, we only have one major in the school, and that is ministry. Another miracle that God has done in the country of Spain, which the Catholic Church was it, and nothing else mattered. Yes?
Maybe you should mention you're the president of the Bible school.
Okay. That is up to God. The truth of the matter is that God, there's only one major in that school, and that is ministry, like I said. Every single one that goes over there goes because they feel God's calling to reach, our theme is to reach Spain and the rest of the world. You know, according to what God's calling, it is. And there are people that are going outside Spain also to reach out. Next week, like I said, starts, and I want you to pray for them. A lot of those guys, a lot of some families even, they are coming, they're obeying God's calling. I want you to know they're paying a high, high price. God's providing for them, God's protecting them, but there's a lot of contradictory a lot of fight, a lot of battle behind the whole thing because nobody really understands how can you be a Christian outside the Catholic Church. They don't understand a lot of the truth that God is really showing to us. God revealed to you he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. A lot of people believe more in religion than in relationship. Most important than anything else is a relationship with a personal relationship with Jesus, with God himself. And then, of course, he comes, thank God for the beautiful church that he has established in this world. I'm here as a testimony of what God has done in my own life and what he's doing through our ministry these days. You know, the Bible says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and even the earth, the ends of the earth, for your possession. Excuse my English, you know, I get kind of mixed up. That is God's promise. Ask of me. We don't have because we don't ask. But if we ask, we shall receive. That's the promise of God. And I hope and pray that every single one that is here this morning is ready to ask of God whatever he has in his heart. Because that's what he wants to be in your own heart too. We don't want to be independent by God's willings, by God's will. We don't want to be independent from God's ways. We want to make sure that we're following what he really wants us to do every single day of our lives. Let's be faithful. We don't have because we don't ask. But if we ask something according to his will, he will give us what we ask for. That is his promise. Another time in the Bible says, who will I send? He will go before me. I'm translating from Spanish. I'm sorry. And God, and he was the prophet, said, I hope you can say today, here I am. Send me. God can send you to the next door, like the pastor was saying today. He can send you closer than you ever think, or he can send you to the end of the world. He asked me to stay, me all over Spain, working around all the country. But he sent other people to other, the ends of the world. The point is, let's be willing to obey God's call in our lives. And I'm telling you this morning, he's calling you already to go, even next door, to your neighbor, to whoever, the store that you buy in. You are a testimony. You are a living sacrifice for what God, he really wants to do in your life. I don't want to preach this morning, but I wanted to share with you. I didn't think I was going to do it, but I wanted to say after that, what the pastor said, that here I'm a testimony of what God can do when you are willing to obey God's purpose in your life. God bless you.
So, I am usually the one that cries. Problem with me is I can't cry and talk at the same time. There's a real talent there that I just don't have. We're happy to be here. It's been, like Greg said, Pastor Greg said, probably 40 years. I've been in Spain almost 50. Next year's 50. And I'm throwing myself a surprise party. It's going to be a surprise for everybody but me. I'm not telling them what day it is or where it is or anything, because it's cheaper that way. You don't have people showing up and eating your hors d'oeuvres and stuff. You don't want that. But anyway, it's been a great run. I'm from Red Bluff, California. And it's amazing that God would choose a kid from Red Bluff, California to be in Spain 50 years and see the amazing things that we have seen. Your church has been very good to us for a lot of years. We're aware of it, and we're grateful. We really are. It's good to have you guys behind us because we need the help. We really do. I mean, we have these prayer cards. I don't know. These are the finest prayer cards you're ever going to see in your life. They're like full color and everything. It's just great. And the point of the prayer cards is we need prayer. We do. Just look at me. Not pretty. You know, if you saw me in the mall, you'd say, man, that guy needs prayer. And you would be absolutely right. We need prayer because we're doing things that are not possible to do. And that's the fun part of serving God is because, you know, at the end of the day, you know that you didn't do it. You know that he did it. And you don't get the glory. He gets the glory. But it's fun to participate in what he wants to do. So please, it's out there on the table, wherever the table is. Over there by the goodies. You got your healthy goodies and you got your non-healthy goodies. White flour, white sugar, or fruit. And most of the white flour and white sugar disappeared. And the fruit, I think, is still there, pretty much intact. But that's where the prayer cards are, okay? I want to talk to you this morning out of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. But before we have a commercial message, I have a book too. I wrote this devotional book called Out of the Fog, and it's how to get away from the lists of obligations and prohibitions and not be centered on that, because when we're centered on that, we lose sight of God. And this has 51 chapters in it. It used to have 52 chapters in it until the censorship over there whacked one of the chapters. So it now has 51 chapters, which is fine. 51 is a biblical number. You got like Psalms 51 and Jeremiah 51. Psalms 119, 51. There's a lot of 51s in the Bible. But this is basically my story, and it goes topic by topic, talking about how we can actually flow in the Spirit, be much more fruitful, and at the same time live in God's rest for us. So, does anybody have a birthday today? Thank you, Jesus. Wow. You know, every time I ask that, it's kind of like, oh, man. Because there could be like 10, you know. So due to circumstances beyond our control, things are going well. There we go. I've been in Spain, like I said, almost 50 years. It's an amazing country. I love it, and I can't believe that God let me do that. We went through the group from Red Bluff, Marysville, and Chico in 1975 to work with Teen Challenge, and there I met Marisa. She was running the Teen Challenge coffee house in Barcelona area, in Sitges. I fell in love with her. She did not fall in love with me. No, that is not funny. It was painful. She would say stuff like, I love you in the Lord. What does that even mean? I don't know what that means. So after 3 years, I basically wore her out, and she married me. Our ministry is to start stuff. It is there's nothing in the world like seeing God create something out of nothing. We started the missions department from Spain. We now have 12 families sent out from Spain, fully supported by the churches in Spain. We started the youth department there as well for the national church. It was fun. You know, I got to do my rap. The rap was pitiful. Pathetic. I don't know which word to use. Lay leadership, teaching people how to run like soundboards, be a Sunday school teacher and thing. But now I'm working with artists, which is interesting because I'm not an artist. And I'm organizing. We do most of our work in the street. We set up in the street and do evangelism using the arts. Europeans love arts. But our main job is church planting. And we go into an area, and it's Marisa and me. We start, the two of us. Sometimes there's a church split. And then, you know, we watch how God saves souls and he builds his church. It's an amazing thing to watch. We've had construction teams come and help us now with other church plants. And we have evangelism teams help us work in the street. There's a team from the Bay Area over there. We get offerings, help people buy signs for the church or a sound system or chairs. And also I'm mentoring now. We started 4 churches in Spain, and now I'm able to help younger guys that are starting out in the ministry. Marisa is the president of the Bible school. I'm the chauffeur of the president of the Bible school. It's God is raising up young people, and you got to believe that he is raising them up with a purpose. And she has been able to really help that whole Bible school project. And so we want you to pray for us, okay? This prayer card will help you. You put it on your mirror. You take as many as you need. You put it on your refrigerator, whatever you're going to see every day. And you're going to say, man, that guy needs prayer. And then you pray for us because God answers prayer. That's his job. That's what he does for a living. And so we want you to pray for us because we need miracles in Spain. Way less than 1/10 of 1% of the population. No, 1/10 of 1% of the population has been born again. And so that means 99.9, basically, don't have their names written in the book of life. This has bothered me every day for the last 49 years. So will you pray for us? Okay, this means yes and this means no. I'm going to ask you that exact same question again, okay? Will you pray for us? Because we need it. Look at me. You know, this is a guy from Red Bluff in Spain, in a Western European country. It's an excellent thing, but it's also an impossible thing. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're talking about missions. We're also talking about the second coming. It was good during the song service of the worship time and listening to the pastor and everything, because I almost said, okay, I don't even need to preach today because everybody said what I wanted to say. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 8, he's talking about the second coming, but it's also, he gives the reason why the Lord has not come back yet, and the reason is because not enough people have been saved. So let's pay attention when we're reading this. In 2 Peter 3:8, he says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. So don't let this escape you. He's not, you know, in a hurry. He's not constrained by time. He does what he wants to do because he is God. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things, now every time the Bible asks a question, it's a rhetorical question. They're actually not looking for information. They're looking for some kind of a commitment or some kind of a decision on your part. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening? Can we hasten the Lord's coming? Okay, this means yes, this means no. Can we hasten the Lord's coming? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. It's going to be a terrible day. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Finally, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent, be diligent, be diligent, to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The reason why he's patient is salvation. He's looking for people to be saved. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote you. So the second coming and missions have always been tied together. Just about any verse you see about missions also is talking about the second coming. It's something that God has put together for us to get a clue and understand what's happening here, what he's trying to do. He doesn't want us to be clueless. He wants us to know what's going on. He wants us to, we're not his servants, we're his friends, and his friends know what he's doing. So in 2 Peter 3, where we read, we see, and we can see it today, stuff is happening all over the world. You know, there's some things like wars, rumors of wars taking place, all kinds of things going on. And it's hopefully it will bother us and it will make us pray even more. And the thing is that we need to submit ourselves to God in order to be able to do something about what's going on there. But there is one verse that is not being fulfilled and has to be fulfilled before God comes back. And it has to do with what Peter said too. In Matthew 24:14, it says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then will the end come." Well, there's about, I think it's about 7.3 billion people on this planet. Of those, about 1.8 are Muslim. Now, there are some neat things happening in Iran and things going on, but 1.8 billion people are Muslim, and they need to hear the word of God, because there is only one name given unto men whereby you must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. He's the way. And nobody goes to the Father except for by him. So of those 1.8 billion, I don't know what the percentage is, but it can't be very big, of people that haven't rejected the gospel, they haven't heard it. That's a big difference. Of those 7.3 billion, about 1.4 billion are in China. Now, God's doing amazing things in China. They estimate about 175,000 people in China are giving their lives to God every day. But there's 1.3 billion people in that country. 1.38 billion in India. Now, I'm cheating here because about half of those are Muslim. But the point is, there are so many people in this world that have not rejected the gospel. They haven't heard it. So it's actually getting worse every year. There are more people being born every year in the world than are being born again. So what are we going to do about this? In Spain, obviously, a lot more people are being born every year than are being born again. So there was a missionary to Africa named Morris Plotz. I don't know if you've ever met Morris, did you? He's an amazing guy. He's got like size 22 feet. And he's one of those missionaries that's not looking for attention, he's just doing the job. Well, he was telling a story about, well, it's actually in the Bible, about when Jesus fed the 5,000 in Mark. And so he had been preaching a long time. We know he was preaching a long time because the disciples said, "Wow, if we send these people home, they're going to faint. It's not going to happen this morning. You're not going to faint. You're going to not have to, you know, get a pizza to go or something, because it's going to be over." But that was a long day. And so they said, we got to get these people some food. And Jesus turns to them and he says, you feed them. And they go, right. Okay, suppose we had all this money. I think they said about 100 days wages. How could we buy enough bread in order to be able to give everybody a piece? He said, well, I want you to have them sit down. And in Mark, it talks about in groups of 50s and 100. So this morning, just for math, we're going to have 50 rows of 100 people, 5,000. They're sitting down there. And to me, it's amazing because the disciples are out there doing their crowd control thing. And they know there's no bread. There's no lunch. You know, they're thinking, this could get ugly. So they're getting these people that's sitting in 50 rows of 100, you know, and they got everybody worked up. And then they go back up there and they're going, okay. And Jesus says, what do you have? Well, the first miracle took place because they got this little kid's lunch. If you've ever tried to get lunch away from a little kid, not pretty. So they got this little kid's lunch, and they say, well, we got some bread and fish here. What's a few sardine sandwiches for all these people? And he said, well, let's pray. And I can just see him going, yeah. So they pray, and they get the baskets. You know, to me, it's comical because they got these baskets, and they're looking in the basket, and they're going, okay. Now, the guy sitting here in row one, seat one, which is you, sir, is a very happy guy. Because he knows what's going on. He knows he's got some bread and fish. If nobody else gets bread and fish, he gets bread and fish. So he's pretty happy about the whole situation. And they give him the bread and the fish, but there's enough for the guy in row one, seat two. And there's enough for the seat three, seat four, seat five. I can see the apostles, they're walking a little straighter now, you know, and handing out miracles and stuff. And they go to row two, three, four, you know, people in the back are standing up going, what's going on here? And they go all the way to rows 16, 17, 18, passing out miracles. Would you like a miracle for lunch? Yes, I would. And they go to rows 20, 21, 22, 23. And I want to stop here to tell you a lie, okay? Now, don't be going up to the pastor and say, you know, that's a lying missionary. I'm going to tell you a lie, but the lie is true. After row 23, they turn around and go back to row 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, to row 23, stop, turn around, go to back to row 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and rows 24 through 50 don't get any. Now, you know that's a lie because you read your Bible, but the lie is true. Over half of this world's population has not received the bread of life. Over half of them have not heard that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that he is raised from the dead, you'll be saved. They haven't heard that. They haven't rejected it. They haven't heard it. And we that live in rows 1 through 23, we're becoming bread and fish gourmets. Now, I don't want no crusty bread. I want my bread nice and soft. And, you know, if I got crusty bread, I'll go to the church down the road here because they got nice and soft bread. I don't want no scrawny fish. I want a nice fat fish for my lunch, you know. And rows 24 through 50 haven't heard. They have not received the bread of life. So the question is, whose fault is it? Well, there is a theology that says that God goes, you go to heaven, you go to hell, you go to hell, you go to heaven, you go to heaven, you go to hell, and then sends us all off. But it's not true. It's our fault. I was in my car a number of years ago. You can tell it was a number of years ago because I was listening to the Bible Answer Man with Walter Martin. Somebody over here is as old as I am. But I'm listening to it, and Walter wasn't there that day, and he had a substitute. The guy comes in. A lady phones with what I think is the most important question. She said, what happens to these people that have not heard the gospel when they die? So I turned up the noise, and I said, I want to hear this. And the guy said, well, I got a theory about that. And I turned it up even more. And he said, I believe that when these people die, that in the moment of their death, an angel appears to them and gives them the gospel. Well, I almost crashed my car, which on I-5 is not easy because there's no curbs. You just You know, you could drive straight. And I thought, what am I doing in Spain? If the alternative is that they get an angel in the moment of their death, you've just died. I don't care how you die. Car wreck, some whatever you want to do, however you want to die, you died. And then in that moment of your death, this angel comes, and he's bigger than I am. Whoa, I'm having an identity crisis here. This angel comes, and he says to you, would you like to receive Lord Jesus Christ? Now, any idiot, in the moment of their death, when an angel is giving them this opportunity, is going to say, well, you know, yeah, I think this is probably a good time for that kind of a step to me for me to take. I think, let's do it. It's just not true. It's not true. We have been given the responsibility of sharing the simple gospel with people, and we have, in a way, frustrated the will of God, honestly. Now, can you frustrate? He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Can you frustrate the will of God? Okay, that was a question. It's a trick question, okay? Can you frustrate the will of God? Yeah. I was in Red Bluff. I worked at the Denny's on I-5. If you're ever going through Red Bluff, you know, Denny's is an option. It's you know, you could stop there. And I was working at night because I was in the States for 7 months, and I was saving money to go back to Spain again. And so I worked at night so I could cook and wash dishes and get 2 wages to be able to get back to Spain faster. So if you've ever worked nights, you know that when the sun comes up, there's kind of a euphoria that takes place. It's like, oh, wow, you know, it's a long, dragging night. All of a sudden, the sun comes up and you're feeling good. I got off at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm on my bike, and I'm riding home, and I'm feeling good, a little greasy, but good, because I was a cook. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes into my life, and he was saying, I want you to go over and talk to that man who's sitting on the post office steps. This guy was drunk. He was waiting for the bar across the street to open at 8 o'clock, and he was just sitting there on the steps. And I knew what God wanted, and you know what he wants when you know it. And I thought, oh, man. So I started to argue with God, you know, very convincing arguments, actually. I said, well, Lord, I'm just real uncomfortable with this. You know, I don't know this guy. He doesn't know me. I'm just going to walk up and say that you love him. No, really. And there's got to be an evangelist around here somewhere, you know, that would do a better job of this than I would. And besides, listen, Lord, for your own good, he's going to think that all your kids are a bunch of fanatics, which is really not what you want for your kingdom, really. So, Jesus, for your own good, I'm going to have to tell you no on this one. Can we frustrate the will of God? Oh, yeah. And we have. We have. So I'm not going to tell you a story where I look bad, all right? This is one time that actually the pressure increased on my chest, because I think God talks to me like this, which is the way I probably need to be talked to. And so I said, okay. It's your kingdom, you know. I mean, I'm trying to give you a little counsel here. You don't seem to be real open to my counsel. I don't, you know, I thought it was pretty good, but you want to wreck your own kingdom? I'll go help you wreck your own kingdom. So I turned my bike around, and I pedaled back to the post office, and the guy's sitting there on the steps, you know, looking around, waiting for 8 o'clock. And I walk up to him, and I go, Jesus loves you. I mean, a powerful testimony. And he sticks his finger in my face and he goes, you're the third person today that's told me that. And I'm thinking, well, you know, 3 people just randomly come up and tell you exactly the same thing. You might want to look at it. But the point is, can we frustrate God's will? Yes. And have we frustrated God's will? Yes. You know, God comes and you know when it's God and you know what he wants. There's some times that there's some ambiguity there and you don't know what really is happening. But there's times that you know it's God and you know what he wants. And he wants you to pray. Well, The 49ers on. In fact, they're on right now. And you came to church. But, God, I can't. No. You know, can I pray after the 49er game? Because, no. You know, I don't. No. Can we frustrate God's will? He wants us to pray, and we tell him no. I want you to fast. And you know he wants you to fast. And you say, well, God, I get dizzy. You know, I can't be fasting. I want you to give. You mean like money? Yeah. That's the start. That's the easiest, according to both Jesus and Paul. The easiest is money. I want you to witness. What? Suppose he asks me a question that I can't answer. Well, then you say, oh, you've done that before. I want you to go. Now, Marisa and I started the National Missions Department for Spain, for the Assemblies of God of Spain. And we started sending out missionaries to different countries, most of them crummy countries. But when we started that, I had to go to every church of the Assemblies of God in Spain, which in those days were a lot fewer, and explain what the missions department was, how you can help, what's the need, how come when we need to receive missionaries, we're sending missionaries, and all those questions. So we went to one church, and I think it was up in the north, the Basque area, where Marisa's from the Basque area. She's Basque. And we went to this church, and I was explaining it. Afterwards, a young couple comes to me and said, we're called to missions. I said, terrific. This is excellent news. Yeah, but we're not going. So I should have thought better, but I said, why? Well, the mother-in-law. I thought, oh, man. You know, what? I don't even understand that. Well, we were in this service. We're at the altar, and she was on one side of the church. I was on the other side, and God spoke to me, and I knew I was called to missions. I even knew the name of the country I was supposed to go to, and I was sitting there thinking, how am I going to tell my wife? And she was on the other side, and exactly the same thing was happening. God was telling her that she was called to missions, the same country, of course. God's not schizophrenic. He doesn't tell some people one thing and some people another. And we both knew we were called. We got together. It was so exciting because it was the same call and the same country and everything until we told her mother. And her mother said, you're not sending my grandbabies to some crummy country to die of some disease I don't know the name of. And she made our life so miserable that we're not going to go. So what happens is, yes, your heart gets hard when you tell God no. But other people pay for it even more than you do. When this couple didn't go to that country and they never went, what happens to the people that should have heard the gospel from them? So what am I looking for this morning? I'm looking for repentance. I really am. I'm looking for us to say to God, I'm sorry I ever told you no. You know what you're doing. You have years of experience, and I am, who do I think I am to tell you no? What do I get off? You know, if he tells you to pray and the Niners are on, well, you have a DVR or you can do whatever to see the game later. Just don't say no. Tell him yes. If he tells you to fast and you say, well, I get dizzy, sit down. This is not hard. Ask me a hard question. If he wants you to give, it's all his, isn't it? You know what a steward is nowadays? It's an administrator. An administrator that spends the money that he is in charge of on his own self goes to jail. We are to administrate what God has given us in the way he wants to do it. Now, there's a lot of ways that he wants us to administrate, but it's his money. And if he wants us to witness, well, Man up. Well, not man up. Person up. Just get some guts. And the first sentence is the hardest. I'm telling you from experience. After you go after the first sentence, then it kind of flows. And if he wants you to go, there's answers for that too. Like this young couple from the Basque area, you know, they couldn't go because of the mother-in-law. Well, there's an answer for that. You take the old lady with you. Just pack her up and take her with you, you know, and if she wants, you know, that way you might have to hear a lot of noise, but at least you're obeying God. We don't tell God no. We don't tell God no. One of the main goals of my life is to never tell him no again. When I'm sure it's him and when I know what he wants, because like I said, ambiguity, I don't do ambiguity very well. But when I know and I know it's him, I need to, even though there's a lot of noise going on in my head and a lot of excuses, I have like 1,000 reasons why I shouldn't do what he wants. There's only one reason to do what he wants. That's because he deserves it. He paid for me. He bought me with a price. I am his. He got me out of where I was, put my feet on a rock, dressed me in white, put a sword in my mouth, sent me to Spain. It's been a great run. Who am I to tell God no? What am I thinking? How do I dare tell him no? And the answer is I shouldn't, ever. And one of my goals is for the rest of my life, never tell him no again. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you that. I'm going to say, are you willing to repent from having told him no in the past? Jesus, I'm sorry. Because repentance has two parts. First of all, we confess with our mouth, and he forgives us of these sins. And he also cleanses us. This is the second part. There is a cleansing that takes place in me of the unrighteousness that urges me and encourages me to look out for my own self and not after him. So we're saying to him this morning, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm sorry. I don't know where I get off here. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to be like that. I want to be what you want me to be. Now, he will scare you because he's big. He will scare you. But the whole point of the whole thing is we're his. And he does have a plan to reach this generation in this generation. He's got this figured out. It's us that need to get on with the plan. So let's pray and really seriously consider repentance, asking forgiveness for telling him no, and also allowing him, authorizing him to come in and do changes in your life. He cleanses us from that unrighteousness, and it gets easier and easier all the time. I'm telling you from experience. Jesus, help us. You're very patient. You're extremely patient, Jesus. And I'm glad. I need your patience. But I wish you didn't have to be quite so patient with me. I wish I was better for you. So change me from glory to glory. Renew my mind, Lord. I want your work in me to make me what you want me to be. And that's an obedient son. You're not looking for slaves. You're not looking for servants. You're looking for sons and obedient sons. Help me, Jesus. Because you scare me sometimes. I seldom understand what you want, and I seldom like what you want. But I want to look you in the eye, say, yes, I'll be there for you. Count on me. I'll be there for you. Every time. Every single time. And the same I pray for my brothers and sisters. That when your eyes are searching to and fro throughout the earth, looking for somebody whose heart is right toward you so you can show yourself powerful. And stop right here in Cupertino because you can count on us. We'll be there for you. Whether it's fasting, whether it's praying, whether it's testifying, giving, whatever you want, Count on us, Jesus. So this, if this is your desire, I want to pray for you because you're going to need a miracle. If it's your desire to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to tell you no. When I know it's you and I know what you want, I want to tell you yes, in spite of all the reasons not to. Forgive me and change me. If that's your desire, stand. I want to pray for you. Quite a few brave people here this morning. Good. You're saying, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know where I get off. What? How do I have the audacity to say no to you who have done everything for me? There's still some people standing, so we'll wait another few seconds. All right. Jesus, look at us, hold us, hug us, take care of us. I'm glad you've been patient with us this far, but we want to be better for you. Transform us. Change us from glory to glory so that your likeness and your image is perfected in us. And that we can observe the change, not make the changes, that we can observe the changes in our lives. And I pray that this week, Lord, really, this week, be easy on us because you know us, but this week, that you will say, I want you to do this. And in spite of all the noise and all the reasons, that we'll look you in the eye and we'll say, you got it. You got it. And do that for the rest of our lives, Lord, because Rose 24 through 50 will hear. If we're obedient and we follow your plan, because you got it figured out. You got it figured out. So do that in us and do that in your people all over the world. Forgive us for our obstinance. Forgive us for basically rebellion, telling you no. Don't let it happen. It'll be a miracle because you know us. We're easily distracted. We're cowards. But forgive us and change us, Jesus, please. I'd like you all to stand in. And I want to share with you the biggest oxymoron in the world. The biggest oxymoron in the world is no Lord. Either he's your Lord or you tell him no. You can't have it both ways. And I don't want it both ways. I want you to pray for me. I don't know if I mentioned these prayer cards. Did I? Please take 1, 2, 3, 4 prayer cards, whatever you need. Pray for us because we need supernatural intervention for what we're trying to do here. But pray for yourself too because a lot is riding. This is even more important than life or death. It's more important than life or death. And he'll talk to you. He'll communicate with you. He'll do what he needs to do on his side. I want us to do what we need to do on our side. God bless you. You really need it.
Thank you, Scott. You can be seated. There was a lot packed in there for us. And we're going to take some time to linger on what we just heard and what we feel the Holy Spirit is saying to us. That was a journey this morning. Scott started out, when Marisa spoke, I got excited because I liked seeing the pictures. And it felt so good to see the people and the Bible school and all the different things because I got excited. We got to participate in that. Our missions giving helped do that. But then as he spoke, I got less and less enthused. as the Holy Spirit started just to push. I liked it at the beginning. I'm not sure I like it so much at the end. Because I've told the Lord no sometimes. Sometimes when he said to do something, I said no. Or sometimes when he said to stop something, and I said no. And those are the biggest regrets. Aren't you glad God is a gracious God? And even though we've said no in the past, God can say, this is a new day. This is a fresh start. And so I'd like us to spend our time as we normally do. If you're a guest with us, we end our services weird. That we don't just say, we're done and everybody goes at once. We feel like it's important to take what we've heard, talk to God about it, and then let him talk to us back. Because he does speak to us. And it's as simple as asking the Lord, what we just heard, God, what do you want me to know about what we just heard? And in that time, you might hear the Lord begin to speak to you about what he wants you to do for missions this next year. You may not, and that's okay. We've got 3 weeks, so there's no rush. I'd rather have you take time, hear the Lord, and then step out in faith than just put a number because it's comfortable. He also probably will speak about your neighbors and your workplace and all those things. And he might even talk to us about maybe going ourselves to some other land. But let's ask him what he wants us to know and then ask him what he wants us to do. Somebody know we can know what to do and not do it. And that's the last part of the message. We can know what he said, but we can say no to him. I don't want to do that. The two front corners of the sanctuary, there'll be a couple of our prayer leaders. And if you have a specific prayer need, come to one of those and let them pray with you. It might even be prayer for renewed passion, for renewed boldness. For the rest of us, we're going to linger a little while. And if the text would put the slide that will guide us through prayer up there to help us go through our steps. If you have to go, if you just got something pressing and you need to make your way out, you can exit without judgment, but go peacefully, quietly, so you're not interrupting others that want to stay. Please do stop by Scott and Marisa's tables. They're out here on the patio, and pick up their prayer card. And do make sure you pray for them. Take the missions brochure with you. Pray for these folks every day. And if the Lord moves on you today to take your pledge card, fill it out. This perforated part, you can take it, keep it for yourself. Put this bigger part in the giving station in the foyer. But if you're not ready to do that, hold on to it till next week. All right? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word. There's lots of lessons there. That if we will say yes to you, we can actually speed your coming. I know that I want to see you, and I know that I want to get out of this world that is full of sickness and struggle and temptations and all of that. But I don't want you to come back because so many are still unsaved. I would rather you wait and be patient. But Lord, we can speed that up. God, I feel fat because I have sat in the row 1 through 23 for pretty much all my life. I don't even have the concept of what it means to not know the gospel. So Lord, move on our hearts to make sure that the next row and the next row and the next row does truly get to hear that there is freedom. There is salvation. God, we want you to change our mind. Repentance. Change the way we think about how we respond to when you ask us to do something. So thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. If you've got to go, feel free to do that. But the rest, if you want to stay, let's linger and ask God what he wants us to know and do about what we've heard.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. Pour out praise to you only. Heavenly Father, we bow before you today, knowing, God, that from you flows all righteousness, all godliness, all goodness. Forgive us, Lord, when we have not obeyed your commands. I pray, Lord, that we would become more attentive. Holy Spirit, you're leading, you're guiding. God, the very words that you lead and speak to us as a shepherd does his sheep. I pray, Lord, that we'd be attuned to what it is you're saying in our lives. And we would respond with yes and amen. God, that we would follow you, knowing, Lord, we have nothing to fear. May you be glorified in the midst of it all as we give you glory and honor today. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.